Hey, welcome into Positive Light, where we're bringing a positive influence into this world and into your lives. Hi, I'm Bob Miles, and today's subject is going to be on Messenger of God. A lot of people think only a prophet who speaks through the Holy Spirit or angels can be a messenger of God. But I believe, and the Bible states, anyone who claims to speak God's words or to teach in His name can be a messenger of God. If you are sharing your faith, you are a messenger of God. So Rick Warren says, God blesses those who share their faith. If I had the cure for cancer and didn't tell anyone about it, I'd be a criminal. If I had the cure for anything we're going through today and didn't share it with anyone, I deserve to be put in jail. But those of us who follow Jesus have something even more important. We know how people can have their past forgiven, get a purpose for living, and have a home in heaven. God says if we want His blessings, we need to share that message. Paul writes in Philemon 1:6, I pray you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have all full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. In other words, don't keep your faith in Jesus a secret. Tell other people about it, invite them to church, give them a Bible, hand them a book about what it means to follow Jesus. God will bless you when you do. We all have different roles. You may not be a preacher, you may not be a missionary, but you can play a part in sharing the good news, and you'll be rewarded no matter what part that is. The Bible says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded accordingly to his own labor, out of 1 Corinthians 3:8. Think of it like this. If you faithfully share the message of Jesus with other people, you're preparing for an amazing day when you get to heaven. Can you imagine what it will be like when you see people who are in heaven because you shared your faith? And also, out of Matthew 9:2, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, it was not the paralyzed man's faith that led to the healing. It was the faith of his friends. When Jesus saw that these friends cared enough to bring their paralyzed friend, he said, those guys have great faith. They're not just asking, they expect me to heal their friend. And Jesus did. You have friends who are spiritually paralyzed and can't get to Jesus. They are paralyzed by fear, guilt, doubt, pain, or maybe even resentment over being hurt in some church in the past. They are paralyzed and they can't get to Jesus on their own. God is watching to see if you will be faithful enough to bring them. And if you are, God will honor your faith. He not only heal your friends, He also is going to bless you. It's a blessing of faith. As long as a church will keep reaching out to more unbelievers, God will keep blessing it. The moment a church's members say their church doesn't need to grow anymore, they're saying they don't care about the world, an attitude that's inconsistent with God's priorities. But as long as we keep bringing spiritually paralyzed people to Jesus, God will bless our churches and our lives. Don't you want to be a part of that? And that's a blessing you can't compare to anything else. So next, I want to read you a story, and it's called Come As You Are. I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcome here. I had been given an invitation several times by several different people, and I had finally decided to see what this place was all about. But this just couldn't be the right place. Quickly, I glanced down at the invitation, and I clutched in my hand. I scanned past the words, Come as you are, no jacket required, and found the location. Yes, I was at the right place. I peered through the window again and saw a room of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All were neatly dressed, adorned in fine garments, and appeared strangely clean as they dined at this exquisite restaurant. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing covered in stains. I was dirty, in fact, filthy. A foul smell seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grime that clung to my body. As I turned around to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to leap out at me. Come as you are, no jacket required. I decided to give it a shot. Mustering up every bit of courage I could find, I opened the door to this restaurant and walked up to the man standing behind the podium. Your name, sir? He asked me with a smile. Jimmy D. Brown. I mumbled without looking up. I thrust my hands deep into my pockets, hoping to conceal their stains. He didn't seem to notice the filth that I was covered in, and he continued, "Very good, sir. A table is reserved in your name. Would you like to be seated?" I couldn't believe what I had heard. A grin broke out of my face, and I said, "Yes, of course." He led me to the table, and sure enough, there was a place card with my name written on it in deep, dark red. As I browsed over the menu, I saw many delightful items listed. There were things like peace, joy, blessings, confidence, assurance, hope, love, faith, and mercy. I realized that this was no ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front in order to see where I was at. God's Grace was the name of this place. The man returned and said, "I recommend the special of the day. With it, you're entitled to heaping portions of everything on the menu." "You've got to be kidding," I thought to myself. "You mean I can have all of this?" "What is the special of the day?" I asked, with excitement ringing in my voice. "Salvation," was his reply. "I'll take it," I practically cried out. Then as quickly as I made that statement, the joy left my body. A sick, painful ache jerked through my stomach, and tears filled my eyes. Between my sobs, I said, "Mister, look at me. I'm dirty and nasty. I'm unclean and unworthy of such things. I love to have all of this, but I just can't afford it." Undaunted, the man smiled again. "Sir, your check has already been taken care of by that gentleman over there," he said as he pointed to the front of the room. "His name is Jesus." Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seemed to light up the room. He was almost too much to look at. I found myself walking toward him, and in a shaking voice, I whispered, "Sir, I'll wash the dishes or sweep the floors or take out the trash. I'll do anything I can do to repay you for all of this." He opened his arms and said with a smile, "Son, all of this is yours if you just come unto me. Ask me to clean you up, and I will. Ask me to allow you to feast at my table, and you will eat. Remember, the table is reserved in your name. All you must do is accept this gift that I offer you." Astonished, I fell at his feet and said, "Please, Jesus, please clean up my life. Please change me and sit me at your table and give me this new life." Immediately, I heard the words, "It is finished." I looked down, and white robes adorned my body. Something strange and wonderful had happened. I felt new, like a weight had been lifted, and I found myself seated at his table. "The special of the day has been served," the Lord said to me. "Salvation is yours." We sat and talked for a great while, and I so enjoyed the time that I spent with him. He told me of all people, that he would like for me to come back as often as I liked for another helping from God's grace. He made it clear that he wanted me to spend as much time with him as possible. As it drew near time for me to go back outside and into the real world, he whispered to me softly, "And lo, I am with you always." And then he said something to me that I will never forget. He said, "My child, do you see these empty tables?" "Yes, Lord, I see them. What do they mean?" I replied. "These are reserved tables, but the individuals whose names are on each place card have not accepted their invitations yet. Would you be so kind as to hand out these invitations to those who have not joined us yet?" Jesus asked. "Of course," I said with excitement as I picked up the invitations. "Go ye therefore into all nations," he said as I turned to leave. I walked into God's grace, dirty and hungry, stained in sin. My righteousness as filthy rags, and Jesus cleaned me up. I walked out a brand new man, robed in white, his righteousness, and so I'll keep my promise to my Lord. I'll go, I'll spread the word. I'll share the gospel, I'll hand out the invitations, and I'll start with you. Have you been to God's grace? There's a table reserved in your name, and here's your invitation. Come as you are, no jacket required. So next, I'd like to play a song called "Let Your Kingdom Come" by Tommy Walker. And here's the song.
Let it be
here on earth
as it is now in heaven. Let your kingdom come.
perfect love,
perfect love,
perfect peace,
perfect peace.
All I want in your presence, let your kingdom come. Start with us. Choose to forgive, reign in us. Let the healing begin. Let it be, here on earth as it is now in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Broken lives, all made whole, wayward souls coming home. Let your kingdom come.
Let justice rise.
Let it be here on earth as it is now in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Perfect love,
perfect love,
perfect peace,
perfect peace.
All I want in your presence. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Oh. Let your kingdom come.
What a beautiful song. Let his kingdom be seen through your example. That would be the best message you can give. And that is how you can be a messenger of God. And that song was by Tommy Walker. You can get him on YouTube. You can subscribe to his channel. He's also at TommyWalkerMinistries.org. So one of the things that my wife and I do, we listen to the Bible in 1 Year by Nikki Gumbel. And the other day when I was listening, Nikki Gumbel talked about being a messenger of God. And he gave 10 top tips for that. and they were so good, I just need to go through them with you today. Billy Graham has already spoken his last words as a messenger of God to this world. These are the words that he spoke at his own funeral. He spoke to the people via recorded message, reminding them that there is life beyond the grave and calling everyone who hears to put their faith in Jesus. Ever since God called him to be a messenger in 1934 at 16 years of age, he has been a faithful messenger of the gospel. He has spoken to over 200 million people in person about Jesus. He has been a friend and trusted advisor to 9 American presidents. His lifetime audience, including radio and television broadcasts, has stopped over 2.2 billion. He has been determined to make the most of every opportunity, including his own funeral, to pass on God's message to the world. My messenger is the way John the Baptist is described by God out of Luke 7:27. You too can be God's messenger. Jesus speaks of the message about the kingdom out of Matthew 13:19. In the rest of the New Testament, the message is a synonym for the gospel. Our task is both to hear this message and to declare it to others out of 1 John 1:5. In the passages for today, we can see 10 top tips for God's messengers. And number 1, stay close to God, Psalm 37:32-40. If you want to hear God's message, you need to wait passionately for God. Don't leave the path. The spacious, free life is from God. It's also protected and safe. God strengthened. We're delivered from evil and we run to Him. He saves us. Lord, help me stay close to You, staying on Your path and hoping in You. Thank You for Your protection and help. And number 2, seek peace. God's messengers must be messengers of peace, for there is a happy end for the man of peace. God's messengers should not be stirrers or seek to bring unnecessary division. Rather, be a person of peace, Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, out of Matthew 5:9. Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Number 3, do not judge, out of Luke 6:37. Jesus says, do not judge and do not condemn. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults. Jesus' famous story about trying to take a speck of dust out of someone else's eye when we have a plank in our own eye is a challenging one. It reminds us that it is far easier to see the faults in those around us than to see our own shortfalls and weaknesses. If we live this way, we will always be falling out with others. Jesus teaches us to pay more attention to our own faults and the areas where we need to grow. Only then can we help reconcile others to God in their struggles. When we treat others with the same patience God shows us, we are much more likely to get on and along with everybody else and recognize the validity of other people's ministries. Lord God, thank You for Your grace and forgiveness to me despite my many shortfalls. Help me to remove the planks from my life. Help me to extend grace to those around me. And number 4, forgive others. Jesus said, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgive people even if they are not sorry. Forgiveness saves the expense of anger, the cost of hatred, and the waste of energy. The forgiveness that God gives you should be the virtuous circle that overflows into your relationships with others. Lord, thank You that You have forgiven me. Help me to forgive others, regardless of whether they are sorry or not. Number 5. Give away your life. Generosity is the heart of Christianity. In this passage, Jesus reiterates the message. As the message puts it, give away your life. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Lord, help me to reflect Your generosity in my attitude towards others. Help me to look for the good in others, to forgive and to give. And number 6, hitch your wagon to a star. That's what Nicky Gumbel did, and he states that was the best piece of advice I was given when I was looking for a place to train as a pastor. Jesus says the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. And as I looked at Sandy Mellar, I knew that he was the star that I wanted to be like. Therefore, I wanted to train under him because even though I felt I would never equal his wisdom and gifting of my teacher, at least I knew what I was aiming for. That is why I often read biographies of people like William Wilberforce, Pope John Paul II, and Billy Graham. Their examples enrich us and inspire us to aim higher. Of course, Jesus ultimately is the only star to hitch your wagon to him. Lord, thank you for the heroes of the faith who have gone before me and for the leaders that you have put in my life. Help me to learn from them and to aim higher in my walk with you. Number 7, guard your heart. Jesus says, good people bring good things out of the good stored up in their hearts. An evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their hearts. For out of the overflow of one's heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to be God's messenger, you have to fill your heart with his message, his presence, and his love. Billy Graham always used to say he liked to speak out of the overflow. Lord, help me to guard my heart and store up good within it. As David prayed, create in me a pure heart, O God, out of Psalm 51:10. Number 8, obey God's word. Superficially, the two houses looked the same, but the one that collapsed had no foundation. If you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. This is a similar image to what we see in today's psalm. The difference between the two is that the wise person hears the message and puts it into practice, out of Luke 6:47. It's not enough to study God's message. Live it out. Knowing God's word and obeying it should be the foundation of your life. Lord Jesus, help me to listen to your words and put them into practice in my life. And number 9, be under authority. All authority comes from being under authority. The centurion recognized that Jesus' authority came from being under authority, just as his own authority as a centurion to give commands came from being under authority, out of Luke 7:8. Your message today will be have authority if you are under God's authority and are led by his Holy Spirit. This authority does not belong to you. You are authorized by God to be his messenger. The Apostle Paul spoke of being an ambassador of the gospel, out of 2 Corinthians 5:20. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have authorized me to be your messenger. Help me to be a faithful ambassador of the gospel to those around me. And number 10, finish well, out of Numbers 22, 21 through 23 and 26. According to the New Testament, Balaam's life is a counterexample. He is cited as an example of a false prophet. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoings by a donkey, an animal without speech, who spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness, out of 2 Peter 2:15 and 16. It is a warning against ignoring the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Three times the angel of the Lord tried to stop Balaam going with Balak. But Balaam was determined to go in spite of the fact that the angel of the Lord was trying to stand in his way and said to him, I have come here to oppose you because your path is reckless, a reckless one before me. Numbers 22 and 32. Balaam had set out to accept a fee for giving Balak the oracle he wanted to hear. Yet we see in the passage for today that at one stage of Balaam's life he had tried to do the right thing. He said, I must speak only what God puts in my mouth. Balaam's life is a warning that even those who are used by God can get themselves into a mess. It is encouragement to keep on doing what Balaam at one point set out to do, to hear God's message and pass it on to others and to finish well. Lord, help me to be your faithful messenger. I want to be sensitive to the guidance of your Holy Spirit, to follow where you are leading, and to stay faithful to the end. The gospel is simple but powerful. Maybe you're afraid to share your faith because you don't know what to say. Or maybe you're sharing the gospel but nothing is happening. People aren't committing their lives to Christ, and are you doing something wrong? You can't open someone's heart to the truth of the gospel, but God can. By his Spirit, the Apostle Paul wasn't eloquent, but God used him because he depended on the Holy Spirit to guide him, out of 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. God guided many others in the Bible as well, like Moses, who was at first asked God to get someone else to lead the Israelites to the Promised Land, or Jonah, who didn't think the wicked Ninevites deserved God's mercy and tried to run the other way. Remember that God does not call the equipped, He equips the called. And as Christians, we are all called to share what Christ has done. Some of Christ's last words on earth were, "Go and make disciples of all nations," out of Matthew 28:19. Sharing our faith isn't just a suggestion, it's a command, and God is with us when we obey Him. One of the best ways to share your faith is to live a godly life. Non-Christians often look at Christians as hypocritical because we say one thing but do another. Show those close to you that you care. Spend time with them, help meet their needs, and offer to listen when they have problems. You might not be able to answer all of their questions, but they can't deny the reality of what Christ has done in your life. If you find this is hard to do, perhaps God is speaking to you about your own need to walk more closely with Him every day. Another important part of sharing your faith is to pray for those you interact with. If you can't think of anyone who isn't a Christian, pray for God to place someone in your life who needs Him. Also, make it a habit of reading the Bible, praying, and going to church, even if it's online. These things shouldn't be done for attention or for the sake of doing them, but for help you grow in your own faith. Being passionate about Christ will help others see that there's something different about you, and they will want to know what it is. You can also reflect Christ through kind words, patience, and gentle temperament. Choosing to love even difficult people, carefully monitoring what you watch or listen to, and treating others with respect. At the same time, we must do more than live godly lives. People need to hear the gospel. To hear the gospel, God loves them. Christ died for them, and they can have an eternal life. Romans 10:13-14 says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" So to share the gospel, you can follow these four simple steps. Number one, tell them about God's plan, peace, and life. God loves you and wants you to experience the peace and life He offers. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life," out of John 3:16. So He has a plan for you. And number two, share our problem, separation from God. Being at peace with God is not automatic. By nature, we are all separated from Him. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," out of Romans 3:23. God is holy. But we are human and don't measure up to His perfect standard. We are sinful, and the wages of sin is death, out of Romans 6:23. Number three, talk about God's remedy, the cross. God's love bridges the gap of separation between you and Him. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the grave, He paid the penalty for your sins. The Bible says He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed, out of 1 Peter 2:24. And number four, our response, receive Christ. You cross the bridge into God's family when you accept Christ's free gift of salvation. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God," out of John 1:12. To receive Christ, a person needs to do four things. Admit you're a sinner, ask forgiveness and be willing to turn away from your sins, believe that Christ died for you on the cross, and receive Christ into your heart and life. Romans 10:13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Go out and just be a messenger of God. Let God lead you where He needs you and let you work in His ways. Well, that brings us to the end of today's subject. My prayer, as always, is that God blesses the journey you're on with Him and that you embrace the path that He has you on. Next week's subject is going to be on laughter. And what God really told me about next week's subject is that sometimes we just need to get a 30-minute break, we need to smile, we need to laugh, and we just need to relax. And that's hopefully what I'm going to accomplish next week. Remember, you can catch me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's been a great week, guys. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you next week.